Welcome back to another episode of the Cornell Thank You Podcast. I'm Steph here with Michelle right after our great conversation with Jesse Jablon Rubin. If you want to get in a good mood, you have to take a look at Jesse's art. It is just, it's feel good art. It really is. And high quality art.
That is the perfect way to describe it. Absolutely. Yeah. Let's give them our keywords. Okay. Playing off that first keyword, happy art, lawyer smart, and bagel cart. And you're going to hear what that means right after we roll the intro. Okay, Seth.
Yes.
I have never met our guest, Jesse, until today, but I will tell you this. You can go to any philanthropy planning meeting or community event, and you will hear her name 1,000 times. She is an artist in this community. She volunteers. She donates her artwork for every raffle. If you want to refresh your house, if you need the perfect gift, the name Jesse Rubin comes up all the time. So I am very happy that she's here. Her maiden name is Jablon. So some of you may know her as Jesse Jablon Rubin. She is a local powerhouse, and we are so excited to get into your story. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This is my first podcast experience, and I am so thrilled to be here.
We're thrilled to have you. And I will tell our listeners, Jesse wore a pop of color today to bring forth images of her beautiful artwork, which we're going to talk about. But Jesse, take us back. Okay, where did you grow up, and how did you end up picking Cornell?
So I actually grew up where I live right now, not in the exact house, but I grew up in Chappaqua, which is in Westchester, New York. I was really indecisive throughout high school about college. I'm still indecisive now, so that tracks. I had two very close friends who did a summer program at Cornell and were always obsessively talking about Cornell. My grades were decent-ish, and I thought, it's good enough for them. I mean, why not? And I actually, leap of faith, I took an online visit.
Online? Oh my God, you're young. How? So what year did you graduate high school?
No, I'm going to be 43 in February. I graduated Greeley in Chappaqua for 99 and Cornell 03.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I took an online visit and then applied early action. Leap of faith, got in and was kind of like, okay, here I go. So I was a government major in arts and sciences, and that was the beginning of my Cornell journey.
Well, we are going to get to the bridge between government and what you're doing now, because that there's got to be a story there. Well, tell us a little bit your life on campus. As a freshman, did you rush? Did you do activities on campus?
I was in Clara Dixon Hall on North Campus. Despite the fact that anyone I knew was in Donlin, I was really excited to be in Dixon. I thought, you know, at least that dorm is famous for having tons of singles. But I, of course, had one of the very few triples.
Oh, God.
I had a roommate from Singapore, who I learned a lot from, and another roommate from LA, who I still keep in touch with both of them. So despite the fact that we lived in a very small room with the three of us, it was a fun way to start. As for the Greek question, I did rush a Kaio, and fun fact, I was sorority sisters with one of your previous guests who I love and who I'm still friends with today.
Who is that?
Lindsay Brooke Weiss. And some of you viewers may know her as Coco and Cashmere, ultra talented stylist,
yes.
Influencer,
love.
Just overall wonderful human being. So, you know, I went the sorority route, but, you know, had a lot of friends in the Greek system, not in the Greek system. I enjoyed it. You know, some of my best friends to this day I met in my sorority. So it worked out.
Why did you choose a government major? Were you planning on going to law school, or what was your plan after graduation?
So I always attract towards the writing subjects, you know, social studies, history, creative writing, and I kind of steered away from the math science spectrum of the things. I figured if I could write a lot, something must be right in there. So I liked the freedom of being able to write a lot, even if it said ultimately nothing. I felt that it gave me more coverage to get some right answers, whereas I found math very limiting and very right and wrong.
Yes. 2 + 2 only equals 4.
That's correct. It. And like, yeah, that is just not, my brain is not comfortable with that level of precision. Which actually transfers over to my art also. If someone asks me to measure for a commission, I say, no, thank you. I am not the right artist for you. You know, so I wasn't sure about law school. No one else in my family were lawyers, but I knew that I wanted to do something, you know, with writing. I had liked the idea of political science, of government, and I decided I would start there and then see what happened from there. And I was always, you know, creative, but more creative in a creative writing sense. And I liked drawing and painting, but not in a real way where it was going to be part of a future for me, where I would go to art school or even human ecology and look at some of the creative, you know, majors in that school at Cornell. So government felt like a safe choice at the time.
A good fit.
Yeah.
Okay. So you graduate 2003. And what is your plan day one?
I forget exactly the timing because now I feel like I'm a dinosaur. But I think my sophomore to junior year, I was pretty committed to the fact that I wanted to go to law school. I, at the very least, wanted to take my LSAT. I wanted to see how I did, see what my options were. One, it felt like a good path forward. But two, I really didn't want to get a job either. So, you know, for many reasons, it felt like a smart move. And my dad at the time said, you know, like law school might be all great, but you will be in debt for 10 to 15 years. So really consider this, really take a moment. And, you know, I maybe took 5 seconds and said, sure, bring on the debt. Let's go. Right from college graduation, knew where I was going to law school and went straight, you know, and I went to WashU in St. Louis, which I adored. And I think had I met someone at law school and, you know, had a serious relationship, I probably would have stayed in the Midwest. I really loved it there. Funnily enough, my husband is from Ohio, but we live in New York, and I met him in New York.
Do you know, I've never been to St. Louis. Have you, Michelle?
Once, but a long time ago.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a great city. How was your transition from Ithaca, sort of a smaller college town place, to a bigger city?
It was awesome. I mean, St. Louis, the quality of life was so high. I mean, I loved the food. I loved the culture there. I loved my new friends from the Midwest. And I mean, WashU grads from all over the place. So I loved the smallness of the law school setting. Straight from law school, I started my first job as a litigator in New York, and then, you know, went from there.
And how many years did you practice law?
I practiced for 12 years.
Oh, a long time. Yeah. What kind of law were you doing and what firm?
I spent my first year at a firm based in Connecticut with a New York presence. I got to take two bars. So I have two licenses, twice as fun. And I still keep them active because on some level in my brain, I like that identity still. And, you know, you never know. And I actually do some of my own legal work from time to time. But then I lateraled after my first year into a small Manhattan firm. I focused a lot on employment and pharmaceutical litigation.
So we had a guest in, I think, our first season, Brenda Janowitz, who also went to law school. And then her creative spirit just needed to come out. She was a writer, and she's written several really well-received and popular fiction novels. What happened to you as a lawyer where you've said to yourself, I need to paint?
I loved art always. So it wasn't like all of a sudden I woke up one day with just like some new skill set that like all of a sudden came to me. Although that did happen with sushi. I hated sushi forever until one morning I woke up and loved it. So just as an aside, you know, the art was always in my blood or my brain, like that creative spark. So after I graduated from law school and I was living in the city, I did, you know, cooking classes and cookie decorating and West African dancing and beading at Birds of Paradise. But like, it never really got out of my system. It happened maybe 10 or 11 years, after practicing, where I was pregnant with my second son. We were making the move from Manhattan to the suburbs. I was staring down a maternity leave. So I was 35 weeks pregnant with the second, and I was alienated in the suburbs. I just decided, okay, what can I do to activate my brain, my hands? It's not eating or online shopping. I decided I went to Michael's and I got a canvas and I got some paint and I had some art supplies from over the years. And I just spent 45 minutes in my basement just creating something. And I remember, you know, I was done with it. And I thought, oh, don't quit my day job. Like, you know, it was not attractive. But I just kept going. And it became kind of like an escape from my own self at the moment, where it just allowed me to kind of relax in a very organic way. And I kept going with it during pockets of time where I could. And I didn't really tell anyone about it. I was almost embarrassed by it, to be honest. And then one of my close friends said, you know, you should hang some of these up. I had some play dates for my kids and some of the moms came over and a few of the moms said, hey, I'd love to, where did you get that? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I made it. Like, and they're like, well, I think, you know, maybe I'd like one. Like, and then I remember someone saying, you know, I have a friend, I was telling her about you. I sent her a picture when I was at your house. She wants something for her entryway. I couldn't possibly, like, my friend turned to me and said, don't be ridiculous. She wants it. Charge her, make it. And she hung it and she loved it. And then all of a sudden, her friends started calling. And then a few designers started calling. And then after a few glasses of wine, once I had my LLC going, I decided to post some of my paintings on my Facebook profile. That night, I stayed up just as the comments came in.
I love it. Such a great story. And did you have at that time, or do you have a creative process or themes, messages throughout your artwork?
When I started, I really wanted to communicate happiness, love, bright colors. My initial paintings were love letters to my children. And I wanted the art to be an expression of who I wanted to find, or maybe what I wanted to be.
You know, happy is the exact adjective I would use when I saw your work on your site. It's colorful. It's interesting that you were not necessarily feeling that way as you were starting out painting. And I'm wondering, you know, the expression art imitates life. Did life then imitate art? Did painting, happy paintings, bring out the happiness in you?
I would go with yes. I accidentally started this business out of a place where I really was looking to find my better or best self. And it really helped me in the process. And that's not to say that every day is roses and sunshine. I mean, once you have a business and you monetize a business and you depend on the business, there are definitely hiccups and challenges as I go. But ultimately, it gave me so much joy.
We are going to put links to all your stuff. But is there something that you're kind of known for or famous for? And then Steph and I are going to show you what we are famous for and get your opinion on it. But first, tell us, what is it? People, they hear the name Jesse Rubin, and what do they think of?
I think probably the love paintings.
Yeah.
Hearts.
A lot of people hearts. Gravitate yes. towards the love and the hearts, which makes sense to me and which I adore and look like every notebook I ever had at Cornell.
Actually, that's a good segue, by the way, because I'm a doodler. Michelle's a doodler. So you were doodling hearts. Is that what you're saying? Like in your notebooks, you would be doodling the things that you're now creating?
Correct.
Okay. Steph.
We have not shared these with each other. So this is going to be fun.
Oh, this is exciting. Okay. Yeah.
We came up with our two most frequent doodles.
Yeah.
They're not good. They're not good. But
oh, I love this. Okay.
We want to see your expert opinion, and then maybe we'll put ours up on Instagram, Steph, so that our listeners can see what she's
and
critiquing.
Share theirs. And by the way, if you want to take any of these ideas,
yes,
in your paintings. Okay, do you want to go first, or you want me to go first?
You go first. You do your first one.
This is one of my classic themes. I don't know why I like to doodle homes with trees and shrubbery.
Okay, listen, I'm into it. I'm into
it. You like it?
Yeah, it's nice.
Notice the shutters and the
Shutters.
The smoke coming out of the chimney. Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
Listen, I put smoke in my chimneys too.
Good. Okay.
May I do one from the same era?
Yes.
Okay. I have been doing this one since second grade. A friend, Grace, showed me how to make it in second grade. It has not changed, but I doodle it almost every day when I'm on the phone.
I'm dying.
I think you're going to be impressed.
I can't wait.
Oh my God, I love it.
You have to describe it for the listeners. We're cracking up and no one can see it.
This is a dog, unlike any dog you've ever seen, with a bow. The bow is very important. Collar, tongue, the whole thing.
Oh, the bow. Yeah. It's actually really good. It's technically very good.
It looks like that clock, the black and white dog clock, you know, that like the tongue swings back and forth. That is so cute.
All right, Steph, what else you got?
Okay, this is my second one. This is it's a minimalist. Think minimalist.
Ooh.
It's the famous ocean with birds and a sun.
Okay.
Remember the birds?
Natural, calm. I'm into that.
That's a go-to for you?
Yeah, the birds and the waves.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
I always doodle this one with and without color. It depends on what's near me.
Okay.
I make diamonds. I connect to the next diamond, to the next diamond. They start to get misshapen.
I like that.
Actually, that's on par with sort of Jesse's happy, colorful theme.
Yeah. It's not always colorful. Sometimes it's just
angry.
All right. It's angry. Jesse, what do you think? What's your expert opinion? Do we have potential?
I think everyone has potential.
That's not the same. That's not the same as the two of us specifically have potential.
Let me just say this. Art is the Wild West. And some of the things I have seen just blow my mind. And at the end of the day, I have learned that you just have to have confidence in what you're doing. And that goes a long way. If you like what you're doing, then put it out there.
Agree.
I love that.
Jesse, tell us a little bit about your business. So do you have a studio? Can people order online? What are your price points? Tell us a little bit more so our listeners can find you and buy from you.
Thanks, guys. I work right now since I have two youngish kids out of my home. And a big part of my business are commissions, meaning that people will call me and, I have a price list by, canvas size. And we discuss, what they're thinking. And typically, I'll say, send me a few photos of my work that you resonate with. And we start off there. So a large part of my business is custom original paintings for clients. And then I do have a website where I offer reproductions at different price points. And then I do have some paintings, original paintings for sale on my website, but it's more a platform for, let's say, you love some love painting or some hearts or an abstract hieroglyphic painting. And those are another category that I do and I love. You could order it on plexiglass, or you could order it as a framed print, or you could order it on canvas. And it just offers more price points and also different formats. Not everybody wants an original painting on canvas. Mm-hmm. There's also some limited merchandise because I've explored a lot with, acrylic trays and small gifting items and home decor. Less emphasis on that. I've been doing murals and bedrooms and some design projects in the hospitality sector.
And are you shipping items, or can people order it and you would ship it if someone commissioned something?
Everything from my website includes shipping and ships directly. Okay. And then in terms of the paintings, I ship the original paintings or use a courier. And, that's always kind of worked out with the client in advance.
Is the local community, though, would you say that's your biggest clientele?
Not really. I would say, my local community is very supportive of me and definitely, commission work. But I would say the tri-state area in generally. I have as many clients in New Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island, some in, Westchester too. And that's in large part just due to word of mouth.
We want to hear a little bit about your Cornell Loves. So can we do our speed round with you?
Let's do it.
Steph, are you start us off?
Yeah, we want to know, what did Jesse Jablon eat at Cornell? Where was your favorite on-campus and off-campus dining?
I loved the North Campus dining hall. I thought it was the best thing ever. I would say in College Town, Aladdin's, and off campus, Maxie's.
How about favorite bar?
I was a Dino's girl. I even worked there. I was a waitress there.
So when you weren't working, you were actually going just to hang out with your friends. What was your go-to drink?
Oh God, probably beer.
What was the most popular drink at Dino's? What did people order from you the most?
Not really. Just people ordered flings, like the chicken wings, the boneless chicken wings.
Okay.
I would say I don't have a memory of the drinks really, because I was mostly during the daytime. So it was mostly just brunch, but flings were like the famous thing there.
So you were in college, the late 90s, early 2000s. I'm going to try to think what I'm thinking of the songs of that era. What song takes you right back to that time in your life?
It's got to be Nelly, Ride With Me, because
that's a good
my sorority
one.
Did a song to it at the time.
When you were studying, where did you go?
Definitely my room.
Did you have a favorite class?
You know, I really loved Pop Culture 101 and Pop Culture 102, which I don't know if he's still there, but Professor Altshuler taught it.
Do you have a favorite Cornell memory?
In my sorority, we had room pick one night, and it was out of a hat. So there was no preferential treatment. You literally picked out of the hat. But I was constantly in my sorority in the kitchen at the bagel bin, because I had never been in an environment where I could just have like unlimited bagels like that. And to this day, I am like a carb fanatic. And they were like, okay, one number left. Like, who hasn't taken their number? And people, they're like, oh, Jesse's in the kitchen at the bagel bin. So I went and I you know, reached my hand down. I picked the last number, and lo and behold, it was a number one.
Oh my God. You got the best
but
room.
But like, let me tell you something, the pressure, because at that point, you know, it was pretty early on and I didn't really have like one bestie and there was no single. So I'm like, oh my God, I can't just grab like one girl. I don't have anyone. So what ended up happening is I took the quad. I took like my three closest friends and we all agreed that I would bring us all up with my number one room pick to the quad. And to this day, those three women are still super close friends. Stella, Anna, and Dana, love you guys.
All right, we have to ask you, did you go to Hot Truck and what was your order?
I would get a PMP if I went. I wasn't a stranger, but it was not the thing that I craved.
So, Jesse, when you think back on your time at Cornell, what are you most thankful for?
I think I'm most thankful for my friendships, which continue to be important to me to this day. I also look back on it as a time of such independence for the first time. And college can be complicated. And there are days where you really have to push yourself and you fail something when you've never failed something before, or you have a fight with someone and, you know, you've never really had to deal with someone being so angry at you and living with them. I'm thankful that I graduated with a degree that I am to this day so proud to have, and that I look back at it and I did it and it was challenging at times, because college is, I just have such fond memories of it.
So Jesse, tell our listeners, where can they see your art? Do you have a website? Do you have an Instagram? Where can our listeners find you?
So I would say I'm most active on my Instagram account, and that's at Jesse Rubin Studio. My website is jesserubinstudio.com. So those are the two places where you can see my art whenever you want to.
Yeah. And you feel instant serotonin from her art.
Yes.
It is so beautiful and joyful. So yes, we love it. Everyone go check it out. It's amazing. Jesse, thank you so much. It has been great to finally meet you after hearing your name for 5 years.
Thank you so much. This has been so fun.
Thanks, Jesse. Thanks so much for listening. Join us next week for another episode of the Cornell Thank You podcast.